You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the JRE review for week 32 of the year. This year is a flying by. Because this podcast is new, just to reiterate a little bit about what it is. So basically, I get together with a guest, or I talk on my own mostly with a guest. Today I got Mark with me. Say hi, Mark.
Hey, what's going on?
And what I do is, or what we do, is we just talk about the great episodes of the week from Joe Rogan's podcast. I always had extra questions for all the years that I've listened to it, and now I just want to throw it out to people that I know that also listen to it, and eventually other fans. We just start a dialogue, and that's it. I keep them short. I keep them fun. They're low budget as hell, but I'm enjoying it, so I hope you guys are, and thanks for downloading. We have, I think, over 40 countries now.
40 countries.
That at least one person has downloaded. Most of them only have one person.
That's like 25% of the earth.
They were probably accidental. Like, what the fuck is this shit?
I think it's some dude in Seattle that just, like, has a GPS blocker on. He's like, I've got to watch the fucking Mariners on MLB TV. But I don't, it's blacked out of my area, so whatever. Oh, and I'm gonna listen to this fucking podcast real quick.
He just pushes the wrong button and that's
it. He does. Well, he's like, oh, I'm in Uganda now. Suck a dick.
Either way, I love that guy. Thank you. You're building myself.
Thank you, Seattle, Uganda. Sleepless in Seattle, Uganda.
This week, Joe had on some great guests. It's really diverse, too. Michael Scott Moore was on podcast 1149. Obviously, you guys have listen to this one. He is a writer. He was kidnapped by Somali pirates. The people that, or the place that is synonymous with pirates. I don't think, is there another place that you can say the name of it and they'd be like, first thought, pirate?
The Caribbean.
Caribbean?
Yeah, that's it. But like, they're old
school. No, I think most people are like, oh, I'd like to go there on holiday.
Oh,
maybe
now,
that's thought like, number three.
But when you talk about pirates, you're like, oh, Somali pirates, Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, what was the Tom Hanks pirate one? And they're like, Somali pirates. Oh, then just two.
Yeah.
There's only two pirates.
Just those. Well, pirates are fucking wild ass people.
I love pirates.
They're great. They are great. But the modern ones are
actually
terrifying.
They're not great. They're
the old ones
are
great.
Horrible.
Because we
the
never
old
saw
ones are
them.
Great.
They're hilarious. They have a parrot. They have one leg.
They just drunk, want a treasure, man.
Just drunk and they want treasure.
Which is, I think, what we all want.
Yeah,
really.
I feel like they none of them ever found any treasure.
No.
They had one box that 50 of them fought over until all the pirates eventually died and
exactly.
It just sank. Same box. You didn't spend any of it.
It's still out there, by the way, guys. Somali pirates have been wasting their time.
Yeah, they're in the wrong spot.
Taking these, like, little freight cruisers. They need to come to the Caribbean.
You have to go where the other pirates are. They do, you know, it doesn't make any sense. There's going to be a map there. Well, Michael Scott Moore, God bless him. Really interesting guy. Super soft tone of voice. He was fascinating to listen to. And being captured for almost 3 years, I think it was like 900 days or something, so just shy of 3 years.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. You know, you think you had a bad day? Try that.
Right.
And it's reality. Like, he lives in our reality. It's not like he lived there and was captured. Not that that makes it any better, but he lives in, you know, he grew up in the valley. And
no
then
shit.
For 3 years, he's like locked in with these people. And how he kept his mind through it and listening to kind of his breakdown of that was really fascinating and super inspiring too, especially during days when I just want to bitch about it, which is
like, God damn it, I got a ticket for street cleaning day.
It's a
oh
lot.
Yeah, well, this dude was in a Somali pirate prison camp for 3 years.
Cheer the fuck up, man.
And he'd be like, man, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Oh,
God damn it, you're better than me. I get it.
Yeah. Like, sad that you forgot your grocery bag for Whole Foods and now they're going to make you feel guilty.
Like, shit, I have to pay 10 cents for this fucker. That's how I felt when I got my Uber last night, because it was like peak hours and they were like, 13 hours to go 2 miles. And I'm like, can I walk it?
No.
Shit. Like, I can, but...
And there's a surge.
I know. Fuck the surge.
Fuck it.
My guy, and my guy, his wife had just won Price is Right. I shit you not. I was like, how you doing, man?
It sounds like a made-up Uber driver story.
Maybe it was. How Maybe he tells it...
Did you Google it afterwards?
I did. No, he literally said it happened like 2 hours, like 3 hours ago or something.
Oh,
so
wow.
He was like, man, my wife was on the Price is Right and she won $12,000. And I was like, can I stop driving Uber? And I go...
You win 12... I thought you win like a jet ski and a new hammock and a fucking tent that you never wanted. And like a whole new thing of dining wear and you don't have any friends because you spend all your time watching Price is Right. So who the fuck's going to eat out of that shit anyway?
Funny you should ask. I grilled him on this particular subject and... I don't remember his answer per se, but it was something like he didn't get to like the showcase. She didn't get to the showcase showdown or anything, but she like won the first thing that gets you like up to spin the fucking wheel.
Right.
And I guess she won some shit on the wheel.
Oh, you can win on that. Yeah, I never watched that show. I never understand how it works.
I used to. It was the only time I watched Price is Right is when I'm watching the NCAA basketball tournament.
Uh huh.
And they just immediately, they're like, okay, we'll be rejoining you in 2 hours. And then they just, boom, you're into the Price is Right. There's not like a commercial in between. They're just like, now we rejoin our regularly like, scheduled
this
programming.
Shitty show.
And they're like, Drew Carey, like, having given up. I'm like, what is happening? They're like, oh. And then I'm like, well, bitch, don't bid that high. It's just a Cuisinart. Well, and then I'm in it. I'm like, I gotta find out if this chick is gonna bid too high on this fucking pontoon boat.
You're
that Somali pirates would undoubtedly
they would love it.
They would take her.
They would love.
They would take her prisoner.
Well, those boats can't be cheap because this fucking guy's ransom was $20 million for the entire time.
$20 million.
Somebody needs to talk to them about how negotiations work.
Because, they started high.
Well,
they're like, we'll...
starting high is the way forward, but come down.
Right.
Supposedly, they didn't come down at all until, like, the last couple of weeks. And
man,
this motherfucker was locked there the whole
time. That's, like, bad negotiating.
Not cool.
At all.
Not cool.
Like, you gotta come to the table and say, like, yes, we will do $20 million. What am I, Jamaican right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, well, like, the Caribbean thing.
Who the fuck knows how to...
And then you're like, and then our guys need to be like, well, how about 100? And they're like, 100 million? No, just... Just 100, and then just incrementally meet each other in the middle.
Well, number one, I don't know how much money they have, but you want to go, how much is 3 years of food and board and guarding? It's enough, so why not just make it 1,000 times that?
Right?
Right? It's still a good investment.
That
1,000 times is solid. That maybe I should go over and start teaching Somali pirates. I cannot. No, I fucking... Terrible.
You imagine the hostage negotiator be like, well, when you factor in cost of living, and the Somali parrots are like, you know what, he makes a really good fucking point.
Yeah. Well, one of the worst things that he went through that he talks about, right, was sleeping situation.
Yeah.
So what would happen, and this is like the PTSD that he took away from this poor fucking thing, is they would chain his feet. He would just lay, I think, on the ground or on like a really shitty mattress, and he'd be covered with a mosquito net. But it was like, that was it for however many hours he stays asleep. So now he's just like, as soon as I get close to going to bed, I just have massive anxiety. And I'm just like, you poor fucking guy. Like, it's hard enough to sleep anyway.
I would be so stressed out.
You think you could ever get over it? I don't know if you could. How would
because I mean, like, I know when I sleep and I'm like worried. I mean, like, so here's an example. This is years ago when I lived with my brother. His car gotten broken into in our garage, and it's not like they took it to like an iPod and like a shirt or something. It wasn't anything, but I was like, it's like a fucking violation. I'm like, they came into our fucking garage.
Feel
and
shit.
Took our shit, and but. Our apartment is right over the garage. And so I would, like, 2 a.m., because I'm a very light sleeper, I would hear that door open, like, that, it's like somebody coming in or whatever, and my mind would immediately be like, those motherfuckers are going to sneak in and try and steal some more shit. I couldn't sleep with that for, it was, like, weeks. And that's, like, they weren't coming to kill me.
Yeah, it wasn't Somali pirate.
Like, all they got was, like, Dave Matthews Band complete collection. Well, it wasn't like that big a deal.
But it goes to show, though.
But I was stressed the fuck out.
Most people don't sleep well. No. And most people aren't going through massive trauma all the time. So it really doesn't take a lot to destabilize your sleep. That is clear, right? What all the levels of what it does, that's harder to understand. But it doesn't take a lot to mess it up.
No.
So when you get something this bad, it's like, can you ever get past
It's like those movies when they're like these guys, like it's a cowboy movie and they're on the run. And like they make camp and they're like, all right, well, I'll take first shift. And I'm like, would I be able to sleep through that shit? I'd be like, no, just give it to me. Just give me the rifle, because I won't be able to sleep. Because if I heard one fuck, I do this when I'm camping normally in like Malibu. Like I hear a, I'm like, someone's coming to pillage our camp. I'm like,
Bigfoot. They're like, Mark, get it together.
Mark, the PCH is literally like 500 feet away.
We're all gonna die. It was a squirrel.
That's how I am. Like, and it's, yeah, you're right. It's like a fucking squirrel. And I'm like, we're coming to get raped and pillaged.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, but that brings up an important point. Like, yeah. People could say, well, that's because you haven't been like living in the wilds of like some crazy place. You don't have the experience. Well, that's reasonable, right?
That is reasonable.
A more hardened person would be less concerned. But this guy was just a writer that lived in the valley once and it's out there. So he doesn't have that ability at all. And he's been thrown in.
No, that would be... I would never be able to sleep. I don't think I'd ever be able to sleep. If I were able to sleep... I mean, there's a trust factor, don't you think?
Yeah.
I would literally need to trust my captors that they're not going to come fucking shank me.
And he couldn't. He didn't know that from what he was saying to Joe. But he understood that they were poor. He understood that they were desperate.
Sure.
And obviously he's not friends with them. But he, like, in so many ways, kind of understood where they came from in just, like, for how desperate their own situation was. And that's a fascinating thought process.
Because I feel like,
being there that long, you'd be like, oh, you know what? I just want to fucking kill all you fuckers. But, you know?
Because that's what happens when somebody violates you like that. They're doing something. They're taking away your freedom. They're taking away your decision to decide for yourself. Any of that. You just want to kill them in the most like violent Steven Seagal under siege.
Well, they're making you realize that you're not as safe as you thought.
At all. It's all an illusion.
You are, yeah. And that's what's crazy.
And you will regain your power.
And here's the thing. In the past, America fucking used to have pirates. You know? Pirates were straight up everywhere. And imagine how terrifying that type of thing was.
American pirates?
Well, just like any pirates.
Like, I can imagine American pirates. We're going to build a mall, and it's going to have a gap, and it's going to have... And we're bringing back Ripley's, believe it or not, and Spencer's. Oh, God, this is all you want? American pirates are so shitty.
The worst. Back in the day, would you have been a pirate?
Man, yeah, I think so.
Right?
Just for the fashion.
I mean, they couldn't have all been cunts.
No.
Maybe some of them are like, man, they're like this quasi-honorable one. Right. Someone's got to keep an eye on these lunatics, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that guy. What do you think your pirate name would be?
Oh, shit, that's a good idea. No, I was not prepared for that question. Mm. And I've been obsessed
Not going to be easy questions on this podcast.
No, I was told this was hard-hitting.
It was.
And I was like, yeah, whatever, okay.
We're going to be doing rounds of burpees real soon, so it scales up. It's very difficult.
Man, I don't even... I couldn't even possibly come up with...
All right, easier question. How much rum would you drink?
A lot.
All of it. Barrels?
Shit ton.
Barrel a day.
I'm like...
Way that they're, like, constantly drinking it out of that thing. I'm like, how warm is that? And what is warm rum like?
Here's the thing.
The worst. How much do you want to get drunk? And then their teeth are terrible, so they have the worst gum disease.
So bad.
They're basically homeless people drinking themselves to death.
Pretty much.
Hoping for treasure.
Here's the thing.
Maybe pirates of the past are just modern homeless people.
They kind of were. Well, I'm at sea without Dramamine, so I'm like, I'm going to be throwing up anyway. I might as well be drinking rum.
You'd be the worst pirate ever.
I'd be terrible.
You can't even be a pirate. Your pirate name would be...
Nauseous Marty or something. Oh, I can't fucking give it to Nauseous Marty. He's only good at port.
Oh, look at Puke Bucket over there.
I want to be like one of the pirates, that, like the first pirates, with like, I'm just a skeleton. Because they were all like freaked out, and I was like, this is
already
awesome.
Dead pirates.
Already dead pirates.
That's an interesting angle.
In the moonlight, they're like skeletons, and they're like, we can't feel nothing or taste nothing. I'm like,
that's feeling and tasting things is pretty much what has gotten me into every problem of
my entire life. It's 100% of my motivation.
I'd probably just be really altruistic. I'd be like, let's just like rescue sea turtles and shit, because I don't need sex or food. Well, so what else am I going to do?
You don't get skeletons like that, sadly. The old wise, they're always grumpy and angry and want to stab you. And I'm just like, really, what is your motivation, you dick pirate?
Exactly.
Like, oh, I'm coming for you. Be like, you can't spend the gold that you got.
At all.
You've been here forever. Why not just be like, hey, it turns out I don't need food and I'm not hot or cold and I don't need desire sex. So, you know, let me just pass some wisdom your way.
It's totally true.
It never twists like that. That's why, because M. Night Shyamalan never made a pirate movie.
Fuck that guy.
He's the worst. Oh, great. Okay, so the next on there is someone that I'm a huge fan of. Podcast 1150, Felipe Esparza. Felipe is a fantastic stand-up comedian. If you don't know his stuff, watch his stuff. Google it. He was the winner of Last Comic Standing. He has, I believe, 2 specials on Netflix. I believe. Maybe just one. But whichever one he has on there, they're fucking great. He does a lot of one-liner stuff, mostly making fun of himself. But
yeah, he's a funny motherfucker.
Yeah,
he's
great.
Like, self-referential.
He loves to start out with, what's up, fool? He's just got this. Yeah, and he riles the crowd a lot like Joey Diaz, which I love. He just gets that ball rolling, and he goes, and it's like, that's a monumental kind of thing to get into, and it's a powerful tool.
Here's a funny story. So I used to bartend at this restaurant, and it's closed now. We had a bunch of like dudes from like either from East LA or they'd immigrated from Mexico, and that's how they greeted each other, like, yo, what up fool, and that's how they greeted me. And one day I decided I would return the favor, and I was like, yo, what up fool, and they were like, fool. And they were like no
Mark.
They did like drop the accent, they're like, no. They like got white boy accent on me, like, no Mark,
you hit it too early,
but
give it a couple of months.
But they
maybe
were
all, a year, you could have earned that moment.
And
but
part of it was like they
on.
Were like protecting me. They were like, "No, it's okay. Like, I won't kill you,
but people,
someone
will
else might
kill
like,
you.
Like, you just saved my
I'm
life.
I'm just gonna spit in your burrito that I'm making,
which is the worst thing because I love to take on either the accent or the or like the dialect, the inflection, or the tone, or the like what's the word
mannerisms,
vernacular. That's what I'd love to take that shit on because I'm just like, that's who I am, and like, so that was a struggle.
I'm
alive, so
you gotta ease into it. Well, talking about the
and like, great guys, by the way, great, amazing human beings.
Stop kissing their ass.
They
never will. No one
is. There's no chance they're listening
it's
to this podcast.
It's just me, you, and some guy in Russia that
some,
is just
some
like
guy
accidentally
in,
downloading them all.
Some
but
guy
he's
in
a hacker.
Seattle with a GPS blocker.
So his deal's all over the place. So Felipe did the same thing. Got over here, jumped the border, took him like 3 times, dressed his brother up
in a dress
because of the passports they had.
Right.
Brother ended up gay. Unrelated, but hilarious coincidence.
Right.
And, you know, it's just like, that's a real fucking struggle to
it's
get
a real
over
fucking
here.
Struggle, man.
What I also liked is they talked about this thing called a condena, right?
Yeah.
Pronounced probably like, condena.
Condena.
But,
yeah,
but it's a thing like where he, his family, and like other poor families in their like tight group would pay in like $100 to, right?
Like
10 of them. And then every month they give it to someone, so someone gets $1,000, which is like, start a business, start a something. And I think that's fucking cool. I think just the idea of something like that.
Yes,
like, even Joe
talking
was
about
talking about, you know what? We should do this for, like, up-and-coming comedians, you know? And it's like, what I really like about that is other comedians that are probably better really only going to help the ones they like, which is kind of an advanced filter for better comedians. Look, I understand that people up at the Comedy Store and other places, they may favor certain people just because of the friendship aspect. They like them. Yeah. But I almost don't think anyone puts their reputation on the line for a comedian that they don't think is funny. Whether you could like, dude, Mark, I could like you as my best friend, as a brother.
Yeah.
But if I thought your comedy was shit,
right,
I'm not lending you any money to improve your comedy.
Dude,
you know what I mean? It's an important aspect of you're a killer, by the way. So that's good.
Oh, thank you.
But it's kind of, you know, it's an important aspect of it, and it's real. It's like no one good could put someone forward, shitty, because it would look bad on them.
Well, it's true. Well, like, but you could apply that to anything. Like, if my buddy says he's a mechanic, but he like blew my engine out, I'm certainly not gonna fucking refer him.
Dude,
to, like,
absolutely this, not true.
This, no,
most law firms in the country, most fucking like hedge funds. Yeah, it's just like I hired my cousin. Who, like, someone knows about the fight, but it's just true. Oh, well, he's in the same fraternity. Like, it's not the same triple. Like, we have to have something good at the end of it. The Comedy Store won't stand for it. Like, period.
No, it's true. Because if you're not funny, you're not funny.
Yeah, you're shit. And but you can be a bit shit at finance, and it's okay.
Right.
Hence the 2008 financial crisis.
Sorry. Yes, exactly.
They all suck.
They all sucked. If comedians had been judging them, we would have no national debt and we'd be in a surplus right now.
No, it would be a lot worse.
It would be way worse.
But what I liked about it is the idea that, like, how they paid in, and I really do think that you could apply that towards other things that other people, especially, it breaks my heart to know of, like, great comics that can't even pay rent. Like, that is...
A lot of that's drugs, though.
It just, like, yeah. But, you know, we should give them money for their drugs.
We should.
Help them out. They might be funnier.
I tell you what.
Yeah, great ideas, right?
I gave my brother a lot of money for drugs. No, in my defense, I didn't know they were for drugs. I thought they were for life-saving surgery. That's how bad it was. But, yeah. No, I get it.
They talk a lot about... 23andMe and the background of, like, Joe is on a kick about this at the moment, like, talking about where his ancestry is from.
Right, yeah.
I don't know why the fuck people are bothering with this. Like, I just don't, like, I know that there's a bit of a curiosity, but, like, what difference is it gonna make? What are you hoping to find?
I just read a really interesting article about that white Americans don't give a shit about that. And it's...
Who's taking those tests?
Don't remember. I think it was just some.
Thanks for bringing that
angry
story.
Sorry. I thought it would lead to something.
We're gonna edit this your out, entire please. Bit out.
It'll just be like Adam but that's talking a question, to AI. Though.
Yeah.
No, but it was.
But it's a question. It's like, who is taking it? Because Joe somehow wants to find a percentage of something, right? Which kind of always goes back to Genghis Khan because he's Italian. And he's like, I'm probably related to him. And that guy. Do you know that guy killed 10% of the population of the world of his time?
Yeah.
Talk about a hard worker.
That dude.
Right? Like,
he woke up.
Talk about setting a goal.
That's the power of intention, ladies and gentlemen.
That
he woke
is...
up. He had a vision board over his.
It has 90% of the world on one side and 10% on the other with a big cross through it.
He was like, "I have to get up early. No day of rest. People are still alive."
Imagine if he did that on like a 4-day week.
Right.
Like, we don't even know.
What
it
was like a nurse's schedule?
Yeah, he wasn't even doing like 10-hour shifts. Yeah. But still, 4 solid days, 3 days. He had like the perfect balance. Threw yoga in like twice a day.
And a union break.
Did
obviously.
A lot of reading. Yeah, paid his guys great. Right. Like, really reasonable.
But, no, I want to go back to this, even though I don't remember who wrote the article. But it was...
The one you can't remember?
Right, yeah.
No, tell us more.
But it was interesting because white people don't give a shit about this. And because I'm reading this, I'm like, you're right. I could give a fuck about
racist.
Like my great-grandparents. I just didn't care.
I just don't
It was about white identity, I guess. It was like that we were just colonists.
Well, we're told...
the British
We're supposed
American.
To be guilty. So we can't look. Well, God, we're worried to do it because we don't know. Now, you're not talking about 23andMe. That's the DNA one. You're talking about Ancestry. The reason we don't look at that one, because it doesn't take long to get, you know, fucking great-grandpa Job that was a fucking slave owner. And nobody wants to be connected with that.
I don't do 23andMe because I'm afraid they'll take my DNA and frame me for murder.
And be like, oh.
Like, that's how they call
it. It's everywhere.
The Golden State Killer.
Really?
You know this guy?
He did 23andMe?
He didn't. No, he didn't. But one of his relatives did. It was either 23andMe or one of those fucking things. And one of his relatives did it. And the FBI was basically like, give me all your DNA. Which is how I used to hit on chicks. It worked too. No, the FBI was like, give me your DNA. And they found his aunt. That matched all the evidence they had of the Golden State Killer from the 80s. And they're like, oh, so someone very closely related to this woman is the Golden State Killer. So then just little yellow pages, little Google. And
wait, hold on. How does the FBI also gets all of the samples from 23andMe? 23andMe sells it to the FBI?
I don't even think they sold it. I think they just took it.
They can subpoena.
Yeah. I might not have been 23andMe, but it was one of those DNA sites.
It sounds very intrusive, but at the same time, I'm like, that's not the worst. That's right? All right. I guess the real fear is one day someone will come in and just start to fake it.
Well, that's the thing,
we
want to
arrest Mark. We'll say his cousin did 23andMe and his DNA matches these people's DNAs that we've now changed. Now he goes to jail and you're fucked and walking.
That's kind of the whole point of the Fourth Amendment.
Jesus Christ, right? If somebody wants to get you that bad, you gotta fucking go down. I'm sorry.
I'm like, who the hell did I piss off?
Dude, the moment straight up 100 people want you to die, for whatever reason, even if they're wrong, if they're straight up we've got power and we're taking you down, they probably are allowed to win. I'm just seriously now? You can't fight them if they're in positions like that. They're like, we're framing this motherfucker.
Oh, I have this whole thing of I hate running. And I'm like, if an axe murderer or a chainsaw murderer starts chasing me, I'd probably be good for a block or two. And then I'd be like, I had a good run. He obviously wants it more than I do.
Seriously.
I'm dead by chainsaw.
How fucking hard is it to run with a chainsaw?
That's
dude, if
that's
he catches up
man.
With you, then number one, he's earned it. And number two, you are fucking out of shape.
It's so true.
Because everyone... I should be able to run away from Usain Bolt with a fucking chainsaw. Unless it's not on, because you don't get that,
right.
What do they call that? Gyroscopic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of stopping his side-to-side motion, but...
Right. And
I don't know.
Be gas powered.
Maybe you can rev it, and, it gives him actually a jolt forward. There might be a clever technique for running with a chainsaw. We're going to look at this.
Yes.
We will not. Hey, fun fact they were talking about, AIDS basically cured. What do you think about that?
I think that's
great. No one's dying from AIDS anymore.
They're really not.
It's not the same stigma. If somebody was straight up Mark, you got AIDS, how would you feel about this?
I'd be like, well, I just got to have sex with a condom now. That sucks.
But it's not the feeling you would have got in the 90s. That would have been crying.
Oh, yeah, you're done.
Dunzo.
You're done.
But if someone says, hey, you got the flu... never gave a shit. Even now, then, before, no one cares.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, god damn it. But you know, more people die of the flu. I think more people died of the flu than ever died of AIDS.
And it's pretty much the viral cocktail, right? I mean, it's the viral cocktail.
I don't know what the cure is, but yeah, they inject
the
fuck
HIV
out of you,
doesn't
you pay a lot of money.
Turn into AIDS anymore.
Exactly.
It's
kind of inert. And it's changing that way, supposedly.
Right.
As a way to survive itself. So
it
becomes
it
less dangerous, but also less detectable by the body.
Yeah.
So it's more likely to exist as a thing. And all it gives a fuck about is existing. I don't think no virus wants to kill you. They want to just live.
They just want to eat.
Yeah, and they want to make more of them. And
it's
if they can do it, that's why I'm surprised there's not more of them that are beneficial. Imagine if we, in the future, could inject ourselves with beneficial...
Viruses.
Well, in a weird way, think about this.
No.
So Felipe had he got real backed up one time, couldn't shit, huge hemorrhoid, big mass, but so massive solid poops. Well, they do poo transfers. What would they call that? Like, if people have bad digestive systems,
like
they put other people's poo in your body.
Because of the probiotics, probably.
Exactly. Yep. Well, and they are showing in mice and rats that you can put poop from a happy mouse in a sad mouse, and it cheers them up, and the other way around.
Really?
Yeah. Powerful.
Well,
but
that's going to lead to some awkward conversations in my future.
Right?
But, dude, I've had his poop in me. You're so cheery. Can I have your shit?
You're right. You're hilarious. Can I just have a bag of that?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had a lot of burritos. You might want to wait till I'm doing my juice cleanse.
I'm in like I'm in a Mexican restaurant and I like see Dave Chappelle in a corner. I'm like, I need his shit power.
Oh, imagine if that was the answer. Instantly become the other person by putting their shit up your butt. Whose shit would you put up your butt? Number one, go.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're on the spot again. You fucked up on the part of it.
I did. I blew it.
But,
Dave Chappelle, easy.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Dave.
Like,
yeah.
He's not only, like, to me, the funniest comedian on the planet. He's unbelievably intelligent. And, like
super
another
cool.
Stratosphere. It's so fucking cool.
Next level.
The dude reads books that you're like, really?
Can't even pronounce
you
the title.
You saw this out. Like, the intricacies of the civil rights and things, and he is so knowledgeable. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not just like, I'm reading like Tom Clancy and like Harry Potter shit, and I'm like, oh, I'm really smart. And he's like reading like political theory and the history of like world economics and shit. And then he talks about it in his show and makes it hysterical. Yeah. Make me Dave Chappelle. I'll take
yeah, that'd be solid,
day.
Right? Yeah.
If I could have 1% of his genius, I'd be ruling the world right
100%.
Now. Unbelievable.
I'd take Arnold Schwarzenegger's poop.
Also an amazing answer.
Why?
Tell me why.
Why would I not want it? All right? I'm not saying that you become an old man now. I'm saying that, like, I get to be him at 30, whatever. At
oh, God,
I am.
How great would that
oh,
be?
Oh, my
man.
Life. All of a sudden, you like, your words stop being a bit more, like, you don't even realize. It's just
I would have
out.
So much fun, dude. I would just, like, I'd become a door-to-door salesman for, like, a week, and I would just knock on
dude,
everyone's
why do you...
door and be like, Sarah Connor, just to see them
yeah.
shit themselves.
100% with the glasses, leather jackets, like 95 degrees out. Doesn't
oh
even make sense. You're on a motorcycle. Sexiest shit ever.
So sexy.
Just badass. God. Beyond. Like, look at The Rock. The Rock is crushing. He's another person whose poop I'd have on my butt.
Oh my God.
Crushing it.
Crushing
How does
it.
He crush it that way? Because we, again, we were talking about this earlier before the podcast, but it's like certain people have set the stage for other greats to jump on. And what I mean
yeah.
by that is, like, you know, in the stand-up circle, it was like, you know, you've got the 60s and 70s. People were trying new things. But this, like, modern story situation that we have set up, and Joe talked about on this podcast, he said that someone had to come in to, like, set the story, right?
Yeah.
This is the story that I'm telling, and these are the jokes in the end, which is not how comedians were doing it before. And then Richard Pryor stepped in afterwards and was like, oh, you thought that was good? Let's turn that up tenfold and make it so real it blows your mind. And it really opened people up. And it's the same thing. It's like nobody would ever accept a rock star character. Look, I love that guy. No disrespect to Rock, I love you.
Yeah,
he's amazing. But to have a kind of bad actor be that massive and doing ridiculously impossible action things, Arnold already set the stage for it. We believe
right.
everything with total disbelief set aside, and like, you can do whatever you want, but jump over the building. It's fine. You're that big and that strong. It's like, we don't look at him and think, oh, he can probably bench 400 to 500 pounds. You look at a man like that and you think in your mind, like, some sort of godlike power. You're
no,
like,
I mean,
oh,
yeah,
he's probably as strong as a gorilla, which is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. That dude is strong, man.
But, dude, we want to believe in
no,
this.
But
we want to believe in these superhero characters, this epic.
We desperately
yeah,
want
we
to believe
it.
In them because we live through them. We're like,
because
yeah.
we're afraid. And
yeah.
we want to believe that someone
like,
else is
I'd be
that
brave
strong.
If I looked like The Rock. I would definitely go save my family in the adjacent skyscraper.
He's a beast. I love that guy. He's just a crusher.
I love
yeah.
The Rock.
The last guy of the week for this set of the podcast review. Podcast 1151, Steve Carroll. Steve Carroll is a physicist, quantum physicist, a teacher in California at the Physics Institute of something that I did not write down, so therefore I forgot. But he's a legit dude, and he was great. He was on Rogan not that long ago, but absolutely fantastic. Started a new podcast called Mindscape Podcast, where he covers physics, but he covers other shit. These are good conversations that he wants to have, you know what I mean? And a fascinating guy, super fascinating guy. The first part of what they got into was Russian election tampering. Mm. So they jump right to what's Trump doing.
Right.
What's going on? Right? It's the beginning of a podcast. You might as well jump on what happened today.
Right.
And the crazy shit.
You're just beating around the bush if you're not getting it. Because who the fuck isn't thinking about this?
Yeah. And
if you're not thinking about it, like,
you got to be a bit worried.
You got to be a little
bit. We got to be watching.
You got to be. The people, and this always drives me crazy. It's like, I don't like politics. They'd be like, I don't like air. It has so much importance on your life to just kind of be ambivalent about it.
Yeah.
I know people are.
I know.
I totally get it. And I'm not saying feel one way or the other about it, but to not even
sounds like
be
you are,
informed,
Mark. Don't lie to me.
I mean, I am, but... but to not
honestly,
even...
man, I barely pay attention because it depresses
me. Oh, it depresses
me. And it seems to freak everyone out. And I'm like, listen, I'll choose to not be so depressed. Other people can be a bit more. And if something really important happens, someone will tell me. Like, I'll hit you up, Mark, and you'll be like, Adam, you need to worry about this.
I'll be like, all of child concentration camps.
Yeah.
Oh, that
I'm like,
sucks.
Oh, shit. I'll jump on board.
That's what's happening.
Anything
right
I
now
could do?
Right.
You're like,
nope,
no, Adam, you're useless.
Nothing.
Yeah, you're utterly useless.
Just be upset.
But then let's look at what, like, the Russians were doing, right?
Yeah.
So they had their little troll bots.
Yeah.
Right? So they're like, it's a state-sponsored companies that they had, like, put together. I don't know if they call them companies or what, agencies, I guess.
Right.
But
yeah, probably
really all they do is sit around supporting fake news for...
to sway opinion.
But yeah, just
it's
to, like,
state-sponsored comments.
Confuse
section
people over it. And what do you think was really their biggest motivation for wanting Trump in over Hillary?
Hillary was such a hawk over Russia.
Like, who hated him?
Fuck it. It was more... I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't think Hillary
like
had
personal...
any love. But I think Putin fucking hated her. And a lot of it had to do with the annexation of Crimea. Because she was flat out there in Ukraine. I read an interesting story about how she met with a Russian ambassador. And, you know, the bravado and everything. And she basically just threw down and was like, this is how it's going to fucking be. And walked out of the room, and the dude felt like tremendously like disrespected by the whole thing. And I mean, I think that's part of it. There's a machismo there, and the idea,
no, I know,
idea that this, and Hillary's all was a foreign policy hawk. I mean, she was like, she was hard on everyone.
Yeah, to
they
think
wanted
that,
none of that.
To think that they would be more balanced and less like opinion tempered is kind of silly, right? Because
it's
they are 100% their own reputation.
Yeah.
So they're probably fucking, you know, dick swinging competitions constantly.
Totally.
And maybe they don't let things go. You know, maybe so much so they will use their power to potentially destroy themselves. I mean, look, we're not going to war with Russia. But
no.
Russia's GDP is smaller than Italy. And if
yeah
America was like, look, we're sending troops to Italy because they pissed us off, you know, I don't think it would be like the great, like, oh my God, we're all going to die. Like,
no,
we'd be like, well, clearly that's not that cool because Italy's cool, but America will crush them.
Right.
Well, hold on. We'd fucking crush the Russians too. Yeah, they got nukes.
We would.
But a lot of other countries got nukes.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're firing off shit anyway. We could probably just storm in there a little bit and they'd be like, all right, they've called our bluff. All right,
yeah,
we
you
need
got
to stop
it
fucking around. Dude, it
I
is not...
like...
I think it's like 1/100th of what we spend on our military, they spend on theirs. And it's hold on a second. How much... how quickly could America fuck Russia so fast?
Yeah, the only issue is the nukes.
The nukes. But no...
but,
dude,
but
no
they...
one's firing these nukes.
Nobody wants to fire them. Nobody
doesn't
wants
make
to
any
fire
sense.
Them. No, at least... Like, Putin doesn't want to fire him.
God, I wish we could make those space rocket lasers that could shoot nukes out of the sky. You know, the second we invented those, and obviously we can't figure it out, that's why we stopped.
Clearly.
Dude, we would immediately invade Russia.
Immediately.
We'd be like, yeah, let's see how good your shit is. And it would be like a disgusting version of the Gulf War. We'd just squash it.
Oh,
it'd have to be.
But it'd be
like, oh, we're not afraid of nukes now. They fire four of them, we'd shoot them out of the sky, and then they would just give up.
Yeah, it'd be like, yeah, it'd be
all the oligarchs would be like, no, 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 I love America. I have real estate.
100%. Oh, no, they would shit their pants. But we can't do it, so that's the whole point. It's the threat. It's the threat.
Yeah. Well, so talking about this, right? Talking about the oligarchs, for example.
Yeah.
When it comes to Russia. So you've got all these governments worldwide, right? And these guys we're talking about. Steve Carroll, he's a smart guy, physicist, but he likes to lend his brain to other things. And and here's some of the issues politically is this. You know, we've got, I don't know. But you've got communism, you've got democracy, you've got, you know, all the
socialism,
different... Yeah, all this shit that we set up, what's better, what's not.
Right.
You know, and then we have things like universal basic income as like an idea of things, right? To like minimize the wage disparity, no one should starve to death, all
right?
That stuff. Well, then you bring in automation, right? Mm-hmm. So the robots are starting to make everything, and now all your basic shit's paid for. Right. So in a way, where's your motivation now? And is that a factor? Do you suddenly become like a trust fund kid? And have you ever met trust fund kids?
I hate trust fund kids.
Dude, Joe even said it on the podcast. They're like, all they do is blow through their money. And you know what? Another thing they say is they don't have jobs. They have projects. Because they don't give a fuck if anything fails. They're not going to starve.
We should start saying that. I'm just working on this project.
Yeah.
Not a job.
I think I've got it.
I have five projects going on.
We got a project.
Yeah.
We already do.
You know, we do.
Yeah, we do. We can say it.
You know, I feel like there's got to be some type of medium, because of course there are people that are going to leech off the government in the same way, or if you have universal basic income, of course there are going to be people that aren't motivated by it. They're just are going to be in the same way that if I open a grocery store, of course people are going to shoplift. That doesn't mean I don't open the grocery store,
right?
You know, because
most people are buying. Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, a couple of kids might come in and steal some condoms. That's the only thing I ever shoplifted in my life.
Solid.
Or they're going to steal some fucking cigarettes or candy bars or whatever the fuck they shoplift.
Yeah, yeah, they're fucking the system.
Most people are going to, I think, just buy their groceries. And if you, like, yeah, I always feel like some people are going to game the system. But I think a lot of people just want to kind of, like,
survive and live. Be happy and not live in the hell of, like, the biggest stress of all, which is a lot of times money.
It is.
A lot of times.
Well, you and I are ambitious people. We're very ambitious people. We want a lot of shit. And we're constantly working and moving towards our goals.
Right.
Stand-up, comedy, writing, all those things. But I think a lot of people who, their ambition, a friend of mine who just had a kid, and his only ambition was to just kind of like have a nice life, have a nice family, and take a nice vacation. And I think that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. It's wonderful, wonderfully simple, and I envy him for it, because I wish that's all I wanted, but I'm a maniac, and I want so much more.
Right.
But I feel like a lot of people want that. They're family and their job,
And you know what? If you want to just play video games, you should be allowed to.
Absolutely.
Steve Carroll talks about this too, because we can be different, right? This is our advantage. But here's the more beautiful thing, is like, the trust fund kids that have done well happen to find their passion. And all of us, in so many ways, especially the ones really pushing themselves or like big Joe Rogan fans, you know, we hear this over and over. You find your passion, it's like working for free.
Absolutely.
That's the shit. And if, you know, you will fill your day with 12 hours or whatever if that's your passion. And I think that's what that universal basic income for a lot more people would do.
I think
free
so.
It up for them to say, right, I don't need to work to survive. I just need to do something because I'm getting depressed and bored. But why not go find your passion then?
Exactly.
And then, instead of these mundane jobs, so many people are creating tons of, like, creative content, right? Art, poetry, videos, comedy,
absolutely,
the shit that we love. And imagine if almost everyone worked on some sort of entertainment for someone else, even if it's just for themselves.
Right.
How much more entertained would everyone be?
Well, you and I were talking about that before the podcast, how we want to laugh so hard we cry at a minimum of once a day.
That would be beautiful.
Like, what if everybody had just like that? Like, everybody just bring joy to someone else's life in some way.
Yeah, yeah. The possibility that would work, right?
I think
that
so.
That would.
So let's
look at what rich people do with their money otherwise a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
So this is an interesting one that they brought up too. Remember when plasma TVs first came out?
Oh, yeah.
So they just start knocking into technology, right? Mm-hmm. So you got technology and that's the thing. It's like, the question is like, what would you do with infinite money? I like to ask that question when I'm stressed and I'm like, what would I do with infinite power to end this stress?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the answer helps you figure out the whole thing. But yeah, infinite money, you know, it's like you don't have to work. What would you do?
Right.
That's a great way to find your passion.
Exactly.
You know, and hope you can make money out of it.
Exactly.
So what are these rich fucking people doing? Well, they're buying the newest technology a lot of times way before everyone else because they can afford it.
Right.
You know, newest surgeries, the newest stem cell, whatever, the newest plasma TVs.
Yeah, they can afford the prototypes.
Yeah, if we're talking like 2006 or whenever plasma TVs came out, dude, they were like 30 inches were like $20,000
for a flat. I know.
And it wasn't even that flat.
No,
it wasn't. But if you look at it that way, they get the first bits of this technology. Really what they're doing is they're buying the shittiest version of a new technology for the highest price.
So
which is a
that's true.
Terrible investment.
Horrible investment.
And then
but
10 years later,
us.
There's like people in trailer parks that have better TVs for almost nothing.
Yeah.
So
like
that
I want a
money
60 inch
wasted.
Like 4K TV, and I'm going to get it for $350 with a Roku inside.
100%.
Yeah.
Dude, I was in Vegas once. Mm-hmm. They had a 100 inch LCD up on this wall. And it was probably 2010. I'd never seen a TV that big. And mm-hmm. I asked him how much it cost. And he goes, that was $100,000.
Fuck, I believe it.
I was like, dude, what?
I believe it. Now
$100,000?
A projector for like $2,000 and like 70-inch screen.
Dude, I saw a projector on Amazon the other day. 1080p was $90. And it had stars. I'm like, $100,000?
I wouldn't even buy it. I'd be like, fuck, no. $90 is going to be shit.
Dude, it had like 1,000 reviews, all close to 5 stars. They're like, this is great for gaming. It's just where the technology is. We
have
really good projectors now.
Yeah,
I have
1080p
two.
Is
I
like,
own two here. Good ones.
No shit.
Dude, they auto-adjust to the wall. You shine it on the wall and their angles aren't right. They're not square with the wall. It sees the wall and changes it, stretches it out.
Oh, I've just reinvented my next year.
Yeah, I got a boner just thinking about
totally.
It.
Totally. Technology
I
boner.
That's it. But it's kind of funny that you look at it that way. Like, let's take AI, for example.
Right.
As soon as they come up with something, like, they've got Alexa now, but how much better are these things getting? And they don't even need to get to AI. They just need to get to, like, comparable,
right.
like, semi-retarded individual that can, like, do shit around your house. I apologize for using that word. Still a great word.
Individual.
Back. Yeah, individual. So, you know, the first thing that's going to happen, sex bots. You know it.
Absolutely.
Everything
sex bots
that can
sex,
talk
the
to
first
you.
Thing.
It's got to be.
Always.
It's a huge motivating
that's
gonna factor.
That's going to be so good for rich
disabled
men
people,
in their mid-30s.
Losers.
Like,
guys
losers.
Desperately trying to stay away from gold diggers that
yes.
are like milking the fuck out of them.
And fetish shit.
Oh.
Oh, you know that's going to.
Yeah. That's going to go wild.
Wild.
Yeah.
Like,
be like, you're in defeat? Buy this robot. Has 6 feet.
Has 6 feet. Oh, my God. These guys
yeah.
are jizzing everywhere. They look like a Jackson Pollock painting. They're like, oh, my God, 6 feet on a robot. Which is
yeah.
also my band name.
Right.
6 toes on a robot, rather.
It's got to be sex robots.
It's
then
always
next,
sex.
It's going to be RoboCops.
Yep.
Right? We're going to build those. What do you think about that? Think of the next war. The next
right.
major war we have, it's not going to be like anything we've ever seen. It's going to be Boston Dynamics and those fucking robots, like, fucking shit up.
And this tells you
that's
how...
That's terrifying. Imagine being killed by a robot.
That's how I want to go, actually. No, this tells you how white I am. My first thought was like, police robots? I wouldn't be able to talk my way out of the shit I'm told. How would they do that?
Imagine if they somehow programmed in some sort of racism.
Of course they would.
They still were like super nice to white people. You're like, this is fucked up. Even the white people are like, now I see it. Okay. Sorry, now I got it. This is bad. You're right. This looks real bad.
I think that's the... We were always this...
No, we were bad.
That's the straw that breaks the camel's back. The robots are like...
We finally get in it. That sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Can we write that?
Let's
write it.
Let's do it.
Racist robots.
Racist robots. Just like a back-to-back, so it looks powerful.
Yes.
One of the big things they were talking about, obviously, being a physicist, Steve Carell starts talking about quantum computing.
Yeah. Right?
Fascinating. I'm too dumb to understand it, but it sounds cool.
Me too.
And quantum computing supposedly is supposed to give you infinite processing power to some degrees, right? Because it has every combination of every answer to a point. And this was immediately what I thought. Imagine if you gave it the task of writing like comedy. It could instantly write every joke ever.
Oh my god.
In 1 second ruin comedy forever.
It would be done.
Done. It spits them out and then says done.
Mainly because...
And then all you can do now is go back and search for interesting jokes because they all got written.
It'd be like...
We can't ask that question.
It'd be like if Louis C.K. was like a robot. It'd be like, no, I already did that joke. Fuck!
Yeah.
Like, I can't steal everything from you. It's possible that I've just literally come up with the same joke.
Uh-huh.
Nope. Computer came up with it first.
That's what they call it. They call it Louis, right?
Louis, yes.
Yeah. It has... What's left of like a messy ginger beard that they've like taped to the front of it. And the worst part is, anytime a woman enters the room, the computer stops talking and starts just going. And you're like, excuse me, Louis, what is that sound? What is happening?
Busy computing.
You're like, nah, you can't be computing because you already have all the answers instantly. No, I'm really loading. I'm loading. Oh, I've unloaded.
Would you like to see my floppy drive?
Oh, God.
Put in the hard disk.
It would ruin it, though.
It would ruin it. It would.
And here's the thing. It's like, what... I don't know. I know there's complicated shit to, like, process. Yeah. And, like, we want to run really complicated algorithms. But it just seems like... Seems like you shouldn't know too much too quick.
Right?
Maybe that's just because I'm so stupid. But I do know that when I watch Netflix, there's a lot on there. And sometimes I'm too bored to watch anything. And maybe you shouldn't have all the answers because then you're too bored to even ask the fucking question.
Well, that's true. It's like flying too close to the sun with the wax wings. Whoever the fuck they were, those guys. Biblical.
Biblical
scholar.
Oh, they just named the document Icarus.
Icarus, yeah. It's a little flying too close to the sun.
Mm.
If I know everything now, the rest of my life will be really fucking
boring.
That'd
be a mess. Every challenge, everything.
I want to read in the morning.
This is another question they bring up, right? So with the same understanding of quantum physics, quantum computing, like a yes and no, on and off, left and right, up and down, it's all like it both happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an understanding of something called moral luck. I don't know if they called it moral luck, but I think it was close to that. Now, what the idea is that they basically say is like, look, you've probably once in your life driven maybe slightly over the alcohol limit, I would say, even if you had to go a few blocks. I'm not incriminating you, so you don't have to say yes or no, but it's like, it's common. That at some time, something like that's happened. Now, you get to your destination, you get out, maybe you feel a bit guilty, we all know it's wrong, and then you know, we're not trying to do it all the time.
Absolutely.
But if you happen to do that, you're mostly capable of, like, functioning, but unluckily you hit someone, then you're the guy that killed someone drunk.
Right.
And your whole life changes.
Mm-hmm.
So then everyone's looking down on you, you go to jail, and they're like kind of a bit of a piece of shit, and the rest of your family, like, he's made some mistakes, but he's doing better, you know, there's a bit of an intervention. Well, you're the same guy that didn't get caught as well as the one that did, and no one gave a fuck about the 50 other times that happened because no one knew. So there's this, like, really unfortunate portion of luck that comes with these ideas of things.
No,
which
it's
is intense.
Well, you know,
to think about.
I love baseball, and I always say the difference between a brilliantly pitched game and a poorly pitched game can sometimes just be four pitches. You could literally just be like, I threw a slider 3-2 with the bases loaded and he struck the guy out so they didn't score any runs. Or he hung a slider, so the grip was slightly different. He hung the slider, guy hit it out, four runs. So that's the difference. Like, the finger position is
right.
The only difference. And what it was a brilliantly pitched game because he got him out on a 3-2 slider between a shitty pitch game where he hung a 3-2 slider. It's kind of the same thing.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And since I know basically nothing about baseball and I'm English, I'm going to assume that either other people are listening bit of the understanding of what you're saying. Like, the degree, the margin is so close. And if
so
the opposite is happening anyway, it's like, oh shit. Oh shit. And that's fucking fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Yeah.
And also scary as hell.
Right? It's like, oh, well, God.
And it's also that, like, multiverse theory where, like,
yeah, I mean,
every choice you've ever made has been played out.
It's something he believes in a great deal. So he draws those parallels, but it's not quite as dark.
Did he talk about simulation theory?
No, he doesn't go so much into that.
Okay.
Joe likes that, though. He likes to get into it because he does isolation chamber stuff, you know, in the deprivation tanks. So it's like, that thought process is like when you're lying there and you're thinking of things that kind of seem real, you're like, oh, you could just invent it all or dream it into reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and VR stuff, I mean, it's kind of pointing that way.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Reminds me of college philosophy.
You're right.
I'm not going to lie.
Well, on that note, that covers those three. Thanks, guys, for joining in. Bit of a longer podcast today, but some fucking great things that we got to go over. And, you know, I really enjoyed these guests, so I wanted to hit it all. Mark, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, dude.
Do it again.
Pleasure.
Love you, brother.
Love you.
Take it easy, guys, and be another one out soon. Love you, fuckers. Peace.